The following message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. Tonight I want to bring a challenge from the Word of God to each of us who know the Lord, and it's a challenge about consistency, being consistent in our Christian life. I don't believe that God has ever intended for us as believers to have a life that is up and down, where perhaps for a week or two we are feeling very spiritual, we're reading our Bible, we're praying, we're serving the Lord, but then we dwindle off and we become careless in our Christian life. We skip our Bible reading, skip praying, maybe don't show up to church when we could, and so forth. And that is not the way that the Lord intends for us as believers. I believe that we ought to live every day and every time, every moment of our life for the Lord. And it's I guess we could say it's called sold out Christianity. It's on fire Christianity. It's a fervency, it's a zeal that we would have. But you know, the old deceiver is out there, the enemy of our soul. And if he can cause us to slack off or to even do things that are contrary to what God would say, he would like to do that. When we get saved, he has lost all power over our soul. Praise the Lord for that. He can never snatch us and take us away from the Lord. Jesus said that no man is able to pluck us out of his hands, and the devil can't do it. But one thing the devil will try to do is to trip us up as a Christian and cause us to become ineffective. And there's a great example here in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I want to read just the first two verses, which will introduce a king named Amaziah. The Bible says Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. That's the thought that I want us to focus on here this evening. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's a good thing, that we would strive with God's help to do that which is right in his sight. But the problem we're going to see is that it was not done with a perfect heart. And you know, this reminds me of some passages in the New Testament. One speaking of, well, I think, unbelievers, those who have a form of Christianity. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What that means is that you can, well, people can appear to be good Christians in the way that they conduct themselves. They show up to church, they dress accordingly, and all of those things. They have a form of godliness. Well, the Pharisees had a form of godliness, but there was no power in their life. And if we are to live victorious Christian lives, we need the power of God to do that. We can't do it in our own strength. And having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof is a condition that we certainly want to avoid. And then writing to a church in Laodicea, the Lord said in Revelation 3:15-16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, this was written to a church, a Bible-believing church, we would say, just like us, but they had grown lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. There was no fire, there was no zeal. The members were going through the routine of coming to church and sitting and singing and standing and sitting and all of those things that we do, but there was no fire, zeal, and God said, that makes me sick. He said, I'd rather you were frozen cold or you were on fire for the Lord. Obviously, that was the desire of the Lord. Well, here's a king in the Old Testament, and he did that which was right. Everything was perfect and correct. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And man looks on the outward appearance. We can see what we do for the Lord, but we can't see what the heart is. And tonight I wonder what our heart would say. Now, by all accounts, King Amaziah, who was the ninth king of the southern kingdom of Judah, by all accounts, he was a successful king. He was a king in the lineage, the royal lineage of David. And he began, as the Bible says in verse number 1, he was 25 years of age when he became king. And he ruled for 29 years. That was a long time. And we find that he did many commendable things during the period of his reign, but he was not right in his heart. His godly traits were mingled with ungodly actions. His virtues were mixed with or matched with vices in his life. And as we read this chapter, you would find him opposing sin on one hand and yet indulging it on the other. Very inconsistent in his life. He is a picture of inconsistency. For example, we see there in verse number 2, as I've read, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet in verse number 14, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. I mean, this is just so out of character that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. This is the God of heaven. This is the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, and fighting a battle against the enemy and taking the possessions of the enemy, the spoils of war. He brings these small g gods back to Jerusalem, sets them up, and bows down and worships them. Very, very strange in these actions. Not only that, but we find in verse 3 and 4 that he showed mercy. When he became king, the first thing that they did in those days, sure glad it's not the same today, although it's getting that way it seems, but he killed all of the administration of the previous administration, all the servants of his father. You see, if you read the previous chapter, his father was assassinated. So when Amaziah became the king, he dealt with the assassins. But verse number 4, but he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. So there we find him following the word of God, following the commandments of Israel, and he showed mercy. But then later on with these Edomites, when he went to battle against them, he was violent and merciless. Look at verse 11. It says, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them up unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they were all broken in pieces. What a cruel act that was, to take prisoners of war and then to have them thrown to their death. So there was no mercy there. And again, we see this inconsistency in his life. As far as the prophet of God in verse number 7, there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. And in verse number 10, then Amaziah separated them. This is where he was building up his army, and he had 300,000 men, and he thought, I could use some more. So he hired men from Israel, 100,000 extra. Well, Israel was the northern kingdom. He was the king over the southern kingdom of Judah, and he wanted to bolster his army, and he paid for them. The man of God, the prophet, came and said, you should not have done that. The Lord doesn't want you to do that. And so in verse number 10, he separated those out of Israel and sent them home. So he listened to the preacher, he listened to the prophet. But then in verse number 16, later on, came to pass as he talked with him, this is the prophet coming again, talking to the king, that the king said unto him, "Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear." That word forbear is a polite way of saying shut up. I don't want to hear what God has to say. Ever found yourself that way where maybe you wouldn't have said it in such a crude way, but you would say, "Lord, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I know what you're going to say, and I'm not willing to do that." Well, this is King Amaziah. And so he is a picture of inconsistency. Well, how would you say your walk with the Lord is? Is it consistent? Are you living every day and climbing the heights? Or are you up and down and living an inconsistent life? Now, I'm not talking about what God has done in our soul. Of course, if we're saved, that's a consistent salvation. We receive the gift of eternal salvation. And so God's not going to change that. You're not going to be less saved or more saved at any given time. Sometimes we may feel that way. Just because of circumstances, our salvation, we lose a little bit of the joy of that salvation, but that doesn't change what God has done in our soul. But what we're talking about here is how we live out the life of Christ, how we allow that life to live through us, and is that consistent? In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, Paul writes this to the church, and he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," he said this, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So he says, work out your own salvation. That doesn't mean that we have to work in order to be saved, because we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But it's saying if you are saved, then you need to work at allowing God to mold you and to shape you and to lead you in the paths that he has for you. You can't just sit on your hands as a Christian and say, "Well, now I'm saved, I guess that's it." No, Paul says, work out your salvation. Why? Because it's God who works in you. So we're talking about the outward working of our faith in Jesus Christ. He makes that difference in our life, and so it causes us to do things for the Lord, and this is a normal part of the Christian life. But the way that we do live our life is going to affect our family, our wife, our children, our parents, our siblings. The way that we live our life for the Lord is going to affect our relationships with our work mates, our co-workers and friends that we have. I mean, it's an interesting thing when you invite friends to friend day, you've raised the flag up the mast and said, "I'm a Christian and this is my church." Kind of puts a little pressure on now to say, "Well, I better live like that. I don't want to give a bad testimony." But certainly the way that we live for Christ is going to affect our church family. Now, Amaziah, the king, came to the throne with a great opportunity. First of all, he had a pretty godly father. Now, none of these kings were perfect, but his father, King Joash, had set a good example. At least at the first, he brought a lot of changes into the kingdom, and they were all changes for the good. So growing up, this young man, as he grew up and he saw how his father was righteous and living, that set a great example. But unfortunately, when he got to the throne, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So I want us to look at a couple of things here this evening, just to draw our attention to the danger and to help us not to fall into that pit. So first of all, we see that just doing things as a Christian is not the only thing. The heart really matters. Think about it. As I've already mentioned, there are what we call the disciplines of the Christian life. The basics. If you're a Christian, this is what a Christian does. A Christian communicates with God through prayer and through Bible reading. It's a two-way communication. That's a given. That's not something that's an option. That's just as you were born into a physical family, an earthly family, you as a child will have a relationship with your parents. It would be very unnatural for you not to talk to them, not to listen to them growing up. And so it is as a Christian. This is the discipline of the Christian life. Going to church is a given. It's what we are to do. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There is, because God so loved that he gave, then giving is part of the discipline, the basic discipline of the Christian life. And what a joy it is. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. When we give to the work of the Lord, we know that not only are we keeping our church going, but we're sending out the light to the far corners of the earth. So these are the things that are the basics. But you know, doing that and that alone, without a perfect heart, without a heart for the Lord, it just becomes routine. And what that causes eventually is a dry kind of Christianity, that we go through the motions. And this is, I think, what Amaziah did. Now, we know from the Bible that it's possible to act like a Christian without being a Christian. Jesus brought that out in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21 through 23. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." By the way, the will of the Father is that you would believe on the Son. The Bible says that. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works." Works. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We can think of other Bible examples of men who did things that were good and right, and yet they themselves were not even, I think, right with God, certainly not saved. Balaam, for example, the Old Testament Balaam. Remember the story of Balaam and his donkey, talking donkey? Did you know that Balaam gave us a prophecy of Jesus Christ? God used him to deliver a prophecy of Christ, and yet he was the one who was used of Satan to corrupt the people of God with wickedness. Absalom is another example, the son of David, who had convictions about right and wrongs, certainly with relation to Amnon and his sister, but yet he rebelled against authority. In the New Testament, we have Simon, in the book of Acts, who saw the Samaritans coming to Christ and believing and being baptized, and he saw the power of God, and he said, "I want that power," and he went through the motions of even being baptized. But when Peter confronted him, he said, "You're in the gall of bitterness." Doing things doesn't mean that we're right with God. It's a matter of the heart. It's possible to be a true Christian, a true believer, and yet we can behave like Amaziah. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The Bible says, "For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this, in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Sadly, if we're not walking in the Spirit, then we're walking in the flesh. And the flesh, the old nature, which would love to control our life, Paul said, I find that in my flesh there is no good thing. There dwelleth no good thing. There's no such thing as good flesh, all right? But the flesh would love to take control. Amaziah didn't have a perfect heart. Back in the corresponding account in the Kings, 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, speaking of Amaziah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did, howbeit the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. Now in this account it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not like David, his father. Well, that was his great-great-great-grandfather, but you know one thing about David? The Bible tells us that he had a heart after God's own heart. Acts 13:22 tells us that. But if you know anything about the life of David, and here's the difference. David was by no means a perfect man. Not by any stretch. David was raised up of the Lord. You know the story and how he became the king. But yet he committed in one act, he committed adultery, he committed murder, and he lied about it. I mean, he broke three commandments there. But the thing with David is when he sinned, and he did, when he sinned, his heart was broken. It was tender, it was pliable, and he soon came back to the Lord. He didn't become obstinate and refuse to admit his sin. He confessed it readily. And that was the difference. You see, God is not looking for or expecting us necessarily. I guess that's not the right way to say it, but we're not going to be perfect in our walk with the Lord. But when our heart is for the Lord, it's going to affect us when we do sin. We'll be broken. We'll say, Lord, I need to confess that and get right with you. And we have a way. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is God's way. Well, Amaziah was not like David. And that was the problem. But what we find here is that performing, doing things that are right, does not necessarily equate to spirituality. It doesn't necessarily please God that we just do things. Living for Christ begins in the heart, a heart that loves God more than anything else. Anyone can conform to the standards on the outside, but God is much more concerned with what's on the inside. Now, here's another thing with King Amaziah. When he was faced with this battle against the Edomites. Now, the Edomites were descendants of Esau, so they were related because Jacob and Esau were brothers. They fought all the time. They didn't get along. They were totally different. But Jacob was the father of the Israelites. The Jews here. But there was a battle. And when he was faced with a battle, what did he do? When you are faced with a battle, a spiritual battle, what do you do? Well, what did he do? Look at verse 5. This is back in 2 Chronicles 25. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. So his reliance here is on his men and their might. And then in verse 6, as we've already mentioned, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he was now relying on his money, men and might and money, and Then if we go over to verse 17, later on the king of Judah was confronted by the king of Israel. When he sent those 100,000 back, the Israelites that he'd hired as mercenaries, and the prophet came and said, "You ought not to do that," he said, he sent them back, and they got very upset about it. And so we find in verse number 17 that Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us see one another in the face." Well, that's just fighting words. It doesn't mean I want to see you and let's have a friendly chat. This is let's face off here. And we'll go out behind the woodshed and we'll settle this man to man. He was kind of relying on himself here. Money, men, might, and me. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 18, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amaziah was so confident in his own resources and his own power that he really didn't invite God into this problem, which is something we're all good at doing. We have big problems, we have little problems, and so we say, "Lord, I can handle this." Well, sometimes the Lord will allow us to fall flat on our face. He never really considered God. In verse 7, there came a man of God to him, saying, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong in the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy." And then notice this, what the prophet said, "For God hath power to help and to cast down." God hath power to help and to cast down. The prophet said, "Don't hire the men from Israel." Well, in verse number 8, he said, "God hath power to help." You can rely on the Lord. Well, then he says this, it's amazing, verse 9. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? I've already paid them. What am I going to do? Can I get my money back?" You know, sometimes to do right, you have to pay a price. Now, this was his own foolishness. Had he prayed about it, had he come to the Lord, maybe this would never have happened. But he had 300,000 men. He said, "I could use another 100,000. I'm going to pay these soldiers a lot of money." And then when the prophet said, "Send them back, God will help you," he said, "But what about my money?" Well, money is a driving force. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. God gave him some faith verses. You ought to underline this in verse number 8. "God hath power to help and to cast down." And then in verse number 9, the last part of that, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." God can do great things if you'll just let him. But sometimes we just don't trust the Lord enough and we say, I need to step in here. I need to take care of this. It reminds me of Moses in the commentary in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Moses was in a great position in Egypt. He was a prince in Egypt, the Bible says, and he'd been trained there and all of that. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 26, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than a greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Amaziah's problem was he didn't trust God. He didn't live by faith. I would say that we need to learn and be encouraged tonight to live by faith, trust the Lord. And then the last thing I want to bring out is his self-will, which really reveals his heart. Over in verse number 20, the prophet came and tried to bring a message from God. Verse number 20, the Bible says, but Amaziah would not hear. Got to the point where he just didn't want to hear what the prophet said. And so the prophet backed off, and then we find the consequences of that. Verse 21, so Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. That's 600 feet of wall he broke down. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. That was the end result of him saying, I'm going to do this myself. I don't need God. I've got the manpower. I've got the might. I've got the money. And I've got me. And he lost it all. He lost it all. You see, pride is our greatest sin, isn't it? And pride will always be something that we have to deal with as Christians. We need to humble ourselves. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. But so often we want to be like Amaziah. We might do things that are right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. An inconsistent life is going to lead us to these kinds of problems in our life. Let me just encourage us all tonight not to be inconsistent, not to be content with a comfort zone Christianity, just to amble along through our Christian life on our journey toward heaven, just doing enough to please God, but not enough to really thrive in the Christian life. It's a wonderful life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I believe that's the kind of life God wants us to live. We can be excited for the Lord. We can be on fire for the Lord. We can live by faith and see God do mighty things in our life. Maybe tonight, as you think about your own life, you've let things slip. Maybe you're saying, well, I do what's right, but my heart is far from God. What a wonderful opportunity we have this evening for us to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to trust you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to live by faith so that I can see victories in my life. God can bring revival. God can bring that fire. He can put that fire back in our zeal, and we can see God do those great things that he wants to do. God wanted to use Amaziah, and he got off to a pretty good start. And he did the things that were right. He did a lot of good things, but his heart really wasn't in it. And when push came to shove, he left God and said, I can handle this. And disaster followed. What a lesson for us to learn tonight.
The preceding message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington. You can find additional information about the church and our publications ministry on the web at bbcoakharbor.org. For further assistance with specific questions, please feel free to give us a call at area code 360-675-8311. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that you received a blessing from the preaching of God's Word.